John's not going to be at the ranch tomorrow night. Tomorrow, are you? She's going to be at the hospital tomorrow. She'll be at the. And what's your baby's name?
David.
All right. Dan, you want to come up here? Dan wants to come up here.
Dan the man. Give it up for Dan the man.
And your baby's name is? David, good strong name. Well, you know what? God is on his throne, right? And his grace is sufficient.
It is.
And this has been a miracle baby.
Yes.
And does anybody
know the story?
You know what? Why don't you tell what took place over the past week even?
Okay. if you were here Wednesday night, you probably heard me sharing about this, but we've had a lot of health problems just from the very beginning, and we weren't sure that, for one, that I'd be able to carry the baby to full term, and then he got really big, and they thought that I wouldn't be able to actually deliver him. They were going to have to do a C-section, which really scared me, but I just got into God's Word and started studying, and Vacation Bible School came into play, and the whole theme for Vacation Bible School is courage. You know, it's the Arctic Edge, where adventure meets courage, and it's about dealing every day, knowing that you can live and you can survive and you can thrive with God and courage. There you go. And so anyway, Joshua 1:9 is really where I started focusing a lot of my attention and study, and it paid off. One morning I was reading, and I had told Marty that I just came across this verse, and it basically said the same thing about God is sufficient, and he can carry you through, and I just felt a peace about whatever was going to happen. And the day before that, I'm seeing three doctors throughout all this, and all three of them told me that the child was way too big, and he was breech, and then he was transverse, and there was absolutely no way that he could turn, so there was absolutely no way that I'd be able to even try to deliver him naturally, which turned out to be wrong, because after a lot of prayer from everyone here at church and, you know, our family, and the day that I came to peace with the whole thing and came, you know, that I thought, whatever happens, I can do this, you know, with God as my focus and, you know, just seeking him first. And I went to the ultrasound, and Dan was there, and lo and behold, the baby turned. So.
All right. Again, God's grace is sufficient. Lord, I want to thank you for Dawn and Dan and this new baby, David. And I ask you, Lord, to just make this a smooth delivery. And I know that your grace is sufficient. And I pray, Lord, tomorrow when Dawn is in delivery, God, that you would just pour your grace and your power and your mercy upon her, Lord. And I know that your mercy is new every morning. And I pray that your mercy and your Holy Spirit would just fill her and give her the peace that surpasses all understanding. And I pray that great comfort would come upon them. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray for this baby. I ask you to help him to be born strong and healthy. And I pray, God, that you would use him for your kingdom. And as he grows older, he would know you as his Lord and Savior. Yes. He would trust you in everything that he does. He would never turn to the left or the right. And he would seek you all the days of his life, God. And I just pray for a godly generation for this household. I pray protection upon them, and I just thank you for the miracles that you do. And there's just another glimpse, God, of your greatness and your awesome and your and just your power, Lord. Yes. And I thank you for your grace, which is sufficient to carry this family through and to carry us all through. Mm-hmm. Lord, pray that you would fall upon this service and your Holy Spirit would just move. And I just thank you for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Father, I also pray for Dan and Dawn. We just thank you already for the miracle of turning the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we thank you that, as your word says in Jeremiah, there is nothing too difficult for you. Mm-hmm. And so, God, we ask for your spirit and grace to be upon them. Give Dawn strength through the delivery. Keep her safe. Keep the baby safe. And as David already prayed, Lord, we ask that you would cause this child to grow in grace and knowledge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that he would serve you, Lord, all the days of his life. We pray it in Christ's name and for his glory.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks. I'll be praying for you.
It's on.
Okay. Well, last week we had a camp up at the ranch, and I think some of the young people wanted to share. If you were at camp last week, why don't you just stand up real quick? Let's see who was there. Bunch of you. Wow. Yeah, Brian and Debbie were there. Yeah. Good. Well, I know that the Lord was doing a work in a lot of people's hearts, and so we thought we'd give some of the young people, and maybe some of the old people, a chance to share if they, what'd you say?
Be careful.
A chance to share if they would like to about something they learned or what the Lord was doing in their life. So who would like to go first? Nobody. Okay. You want to go first? You didn't go to camp? You went to a different camp. Okay. Tell us about your camp.
I went to Turkey Hill and I met a lot of strange people. But each night we go to chapel, and each morning we go to chapel, and at dinner and breakfast and lunch we have devotions in the middle. And it's so wonderful because you get to learn so much about God and what He is and who He is and that He can be your friend. And I learned that I learned a lot of stuff, but I learned that God is forever. And like my counselor at Devotions, she said that really struck me was that every rock at Turkey Hill, I mean, there's rocks everywhere at Turkey Hill. There's rocks at the lake, there's rocks at the creek, there's rocks on the roads. There's rocks everywhere. And she said that no matter how many rocks that were at Turkey Hill, it still did not fill eternity, and that God was eternity and it was forever. And that really struck me because last year she said that the same thing, but you know how you're walking and then you fall over a rock and then you're walking and you fall over the same rock, but it takes me two times and then the third time. Oh, that's what I learned at Turkey Hill.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I have a question. Did you see any turkeys there?
No.
No turkeys
at Turkey Hill?
Okay. Maybe you should go to Rock Hill camp, maybe. Someone else. Any camp. Hey. Now, don't be shy.
Okay, fine.
Uh-oh. Hang on to your seats.
Okay, since nobody else wanted to start it off, I guess I will. A bunch of us counselors had a meeting earlier today, and we talked about all the great things that God did at camp, and just things that happened, not just in the lives of like the kids that we were counseling, but also in like our own lives. I'm gonna say like a lot, aren't I? Okay. For me, the biggest thing personally was getting to know a couple of kids that I hadn't known very well before camp. And here at Liberty, most of us, you know, I'm not gonna say most, a lot of us come with a introverted attitude where we're very focused on the inside of the four walls of our church and on bettering our families and our own personal quiet times with God, our own, you know, one-on-one time with God. And that is so essential to your Christian faith, you know. But what I realized was that I have it too good, you know, a lot of us do. And I can sit there and talk theology all day, but could I stand up, you know, if my mom was dying of cancer and say, you give and take away, you know, sing that in a song. Friday night when we were worshiping, Oh, gosh. I'm just like my mom. So Friday night we were worshiping, and I looked over at a friend of mine, and he had his arms completely stretched out to the Lord. He was just singing his heart out, and he was singing, we were singing Blessed Be Your Name, and he was singing You Give and Take Away. His mom is dying of cancer right now, and he's 14 years old, and the strength and just the joy that he had all week, I was so convicted, because I was freaking out over little petty things, you know, little disunities with my friends, you know. My best friend and I, we had a little argument at the beginning of the week, and, you know, I was all freaked out about that and everything. And Mrs. Boyle is laughing at me. And it just, you know, we were talking about it in our counselor's meeting. We don't always think about what other people have to go through, you know. We just keep it at the surface. It's like, oh, how are you? I'm fine. That's great. We don't realize what a lot of kids have to go through at their homes, you know. And I guess I just wanted to encourage you to remember what other people have to go through. I know that not everyone in this church, you know, has everything perfect. Nobody does. But a lot of us have it really good. And we forget to thank God for that. We really do.
Good. Thank you, Hannah. Yes. Thought I said young person. Oh, just kidding.
No, for me, this was the first time that I had ever gone to the camp, and I'll tell you, it was an awesome experience. And I think they've kind of sold me for, I don't know, for life. You know, but, you know, I agree a lot with what Hannah said, you know, our perspective is so much different than some of these kids that come to camp. And just seeing the Lord work through them through that week was just an amazing thing. One of the things that was really an awesome thing to see is all the spiritual warfare that was really going on throughout the camp. And at the beginning, it was really intense. And as the week went on, you could just see these kids change. You know, there was this one girl who was just on fire for the quizzing. And when she first started doing the quizzing, you could see all the attitude, you know, all the ways of the world just in her, and almost to the point that it looked like she was going to get in a fight with somebody. And just towards the end, just her whole perspective just changed, and it was just an awesome thing to see. But man, I can't wait till next year. It was just awesome.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, it's David Higgins' turn now.
Okay, he got her to camp, but I didn't.
You're limping.
I am limping.
Is that a camp wound?
It is a camp wound.
It's like Jacob wrestling with the angel. He limped after that.
Yes. It was a great camp this year. I'm hurt. David Vols is the problem.
David Vols, too.
The second. It was a great camp. A lot of spiritual warfare, lots of attack, lots of bad attitudes. I think what really was great about it, though, is that a lot of us leaders got together. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday night, and we just, it was like 1 or 2 in the morning, and we just prayed for it for a long time. And after that, it just seemed like the entire mood of the camp just changed. It was just good to see that God was answering prayers in that regard. That and also the Numa Numa dance. I don't know if any of you guys saw that. It's online. Check it out. There's a surprise guest appearance. That really changed, I believe, the mood of the camp. Was just, it did. I'm serious. But, you know, God was really working during the camp. A lot of stuff happened in not only the kids' lives, but also the counselors. I know that something serious happened in my life. Tim spoke really well. He was talking about forgiveness. There's a lot of things that, a lot of issues with the kids, family situations. Tim really focused on that, and it was good. A lot of people were changed.
Good. Praise the Lord. Jordan the man. Are you limping?
Ow. All right. Well, I got the privilege, the honor to lead worship at camp, and I'd just like to say that it was awesome. It was really cool. Everybody was, the Holy Spirit was definitely there. The worship was on, and I was very privileged and very honored to be able to do that. And I guess it was Hannah who was talking about the night we were saying, "Blessed be your name." It was just really cool. The worship was amazing, and the messages were amazing. God was totally there. What I really felt like I was supposed to talk about, I felt like the Lord was telling me to come up here and to talk to you guys that weren't at camp. You guys all know somebody that went to camp. And something that's really hard for us that went to camp is remembering what happened. It's really easy to forget and just to drop back into our everyday routine. And what we need is, we need you guys who weren't there, we need you to ask us, to find out what happened. Each one of us individually needs somebody to come and talk to us. You know, we need that accountability. We need you to get into our lives. We need you to find out what happened to us, and we need you to push and keep us going. We don't want this just to last for a week. We don't want this to last for a month. We want this to last. We want to remember this camp. And we need the people that were at camp, but we also need you guys who weren't there. We want you to be involved in this, because we are a body. Our church is a body, and we want you guys all to be involved in this camp. So for those of you who weren't there, who had kids there, or even if you didn't have kids there, I would encourage you just to talk to somebody else. I mean, something that I really appreciate about this church is the bond that us kids have with other parents. Like, I really appreciate all the other fathers and that reaching out to me. And I just like to encourage you guys. I don't care if any of your family were there or not. I just encourage you to push and to get into the camp, find out what happened, and push us, because we need it. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesse Boyle. Yeah. You gonna tell us about some argument with your friend? No, I'm just kidding.
yeah, she wasn't supposed to talk about that. no, it definitely happened. All night. No, I just really felt like God wanted me to come up here and talk to you guys just about what was going on in my life before camp. Months before that, I was gradually getting drier and drier in my walk until it was just so dry. I'd worship, I'd do it, but I just did not feel like God was there. I didn't feel like he was there. And I went into camp. Every message I heard, I was getting this, just be faithful, just hang in there, don't grow weary. And I get to camp, and I'm really tired, and I just want to stop, and I get in there, and it's time to work. It's time to get down and roll your sleeves up. And I just remember the big theme of the camp was, don't grow weary, keep pressing on. And I just really was touched by God this week. He just really came, and he just filled me back up so that I can go back out there and just serve him. And the unity among the people there was just incredible. I mean, the spiritual warfare wasn't, like, intense. It was so crazy. I had had some experience with it before, but going in there, it was crazy. And just to be able to just pray with fellow Christians and to just grab them just spontaneously, like, we need to pray, something's going on, and then see God work after that and see God just change things completely, the weather, the sound system, people's hearts just completely be moved. It was just big and powerful, and this past week was just amazing, and I'm just so grateful and thankful to God for everything that happened. It was really great.
Thank you.
Alex Boyle, the man. I didn't hear that. What was that?
Hi, I'm Alex, and I've been a Christian ever since I was 1998. Yeah, God really spoke to me because I had a lot of things going on before I went to camp, because I thought the main reason, you know, to go to camp was just to have fun, you know, have a little bit of spiritual environment. But the first night when Tim talked, he asked us all to go up into the top field and start praying. So I went up there, you know, not really knowing what to pray about. So I prayed, and I just prayed about, you know, maybe a couple of the main things in my life. But so when I was praying, I was sitting up, and there was this white figure walking around me in circles. And honestly, my first reaction would be, you know, to be scared. But honestly, I wasn't really scared, and there was just like this warm feeling in my heart. And so I just laid down, and I laid down on my back, and I looked into the stars, and they were all spinning around in circles really fast above me. And it felt like that was God's way of telling me, you know, that he's willing to do anything to show me his love for me.
That's good. That's good. Tim is walking around in his bed sheets again. God does love you, Alex. Doesn't he, buddy?
Yes.
Amen. And he controls the stars, too. He governs it all.
Got it? Breathe. Okay. Breathe. I was only at camp Friday night, wasn't able to make it. I was really blessed to, later that night, to help carry the cross. And I didn't share this Friday night, but I felt when they brought the cross over to the edge of the stage, I was kind of having a little bit of a problem because I was out, you know, 4 hours outside and the air quality wasn't all that good. And I just thought, God, give me strength just to feel one moment of what you felt. And he did. I met Tim and Mike, I think, were there. I just remember them. I had heard the kids singing, and it was like, God, this is so awesome. I hope these kids that don't believe feel, just touch their hearts. Just with the love that these kids had for God, it was just mind-boggling. I mean, you just couldn't believe it. You had to have been there, and you could just feel the love in the air. And God had given me strength to carry the cross from one end of the stage over to where there were some other girls sitting. And when I sat down, I'm like, wow, God, you did it. You gave me strength to do this. But when I first they put the cross on my shoulder, I felt so shame. Such shame came over me, like, how could anybody love all of us this much to endure? And this cross wasn't heavy, and I wasn't beaten, and I wasn't bloody. My skin was all intact, and I thought, my God did this for us. He carried it across a cobblestone street, and it bobbed up and down, and it kept digging into his shoulder. And God gave him strength to keep going and going. And he kept going until the end. And I thought, I was just blown away by how that kind of love, how awesome it was. But what I especially wanted to say was, while I was sitting there, I want to praise the kids at this church. You guys are awesome. I sat there and watched and just kind of sort of back, just sort of watched you and thought, how awesome. How proud I am to say that these kids, these youngsters that are raising their hand in front of kids, peers their own age, they don't believe, but our kids stood there proudly and raised their hand and praised God and weren't ashamed. It was just so real, and I was so blessed thinking these guys are our future. and they believe they have that godly love, and maybe they'll bring this country back around to where our forefathers wanted it. God back in America again. So guys, I want to say, just keep hanging in there. You are so awesome. You kids are just amazing.
Oh, is it your turn now?
Can I have it?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Shirley was like, get it for me, so I did. I just want to say, you know, this camp was different. You know, the kids have all said that there was definitely some spiritual warfare going on, but it was because God was doing a work, you know, and he was breaking through hearts, and the enemy didn't want that to happen. And I was so blessed by our counselors, you know, our 17, 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, you know, kids. They're growing into, and they've become, you know, young men and women that are standing up and battling for Christ. And when Jesse was like, you know, it was on Wednesday night, nobody said anything. Nobody went around and said, oh, something's going on. It was the Spirit that spoke to these kids. And we looked out on the hill, and they were kids praying every place. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, moving them to stand in battle for the body that was there, you know, in intercession for what God wanted to do. And I was blessed that night. Me and Ravonda, it was midweek, and there was a lot of stuff going on. And in my heart, I was starting to think, okay, God, why am I here? You know, what are you using me for? You know, and the Lord just laid it on our hearts to pray with Cindy Silman. She was there, and the three of us got together, and we prayed, and we wept, and we prayed, and we prayed that, you know, God's work would be done, whatever it is he wants, that his work would be done. And so we get done praying, and I thought, okay, you know, I got to go out, and I got to sit with my girls, or, you know, they've been doing worship, and, you know, they're going to start to get the meeting. And we passed Debbie Short, and she saw me and Ravonda. She's like, oh. Immediately, she's like, you know, we got to pray for you. I'm like, no, no, you know, we got to go. And Debbie took her authority and stood her ground. And she's like, sit down, girls. I'm praying for you guys. And Debbie and Mrs. Linville and somebody else was there. I don't know who. But they prayed over us and just for the camp. And my spirit was so refreshed to have someone in a place of authority over me and Ravonda pray for us, to have Debbie and Mrs. Linville pray. I was just so revised, you know, within my soul, and so thankful for the Lord. And I watched the Lord do a lot of stuff this past week, but more than anything, he encouraged in my heart, you know, the unity of the body. And that, you know, the foot and the hand, we all have our places, and that the Lord himself is in control. Because I was asking myself, you know, midweek, I'm like, you know, what are you doing? And God is very clear. He's like, I will use you and everyone else here how I want to use them, and not how they think they need to be used or how anybody else wants them to be used. I'm going to do my work in my way. And that was very powerful. And I just praise God for what he's done and the work he set in motion. And that, like we sing tonight, he is God alone and he is on his throne. And I'm just blessed by watching, you know, what he's done, you know, and the work that he's done. And I want to say thank you to all of the people. You know, Jeff and Ravonda stepped up, and Jeff was the camp director, and Ravonda was the administrator, and boy, they got worked into the ground. they were such a blessing to Kim and Tim and to the whole camp. And I want to publicly praise Tim Ward for being on his knees and being in the Word and seeking the Lord to stand up there and to teach truth and to pour truth into our lives and to be willing to stand amongst the fiery arrows and take it. Because he and David Vaughn and David Voles and our other leaders here at this church are in constant battle for us, the body. And most of us will never know how, you know, intense that is on them and their homes and their families, but they're willing to sacrifice and they're willing to lay down, to stand up and to go to battle and to be the good shepherds with that rod beating off the wolves and to speak truth into our lives, even when sometimes we don't want them to.
even when it hurts. So a prayer for us as a body and, you know, everybody that was at camp is that we will learn to love discipline and to cling to it, because that is how the Lord administers his love to us. And I want to thank David Vaughn. I'm like, okay, I'm going everywhere with this. But I want to thank you for standing up and administering truth to us. Day in and day out, week in and week out, it's a blessing, and it's an honor to sit under your teaching and under Tim Ward's teaching and your authority, and I want to thank you for that.
So humble. Well, how can you follow that? Wow. First of all, isn't my mom awesome? I am telling you. You know, you didn't grow up with this woman, but God has transformed her hard, rock hard heart to be. That's bad. Hey, man, my heart was rock hard too, but her heart just into putty. And so thank you, Mom. You're great. I love her. I'm glad she got to serve me. Well, you know, I didn't do that much at camp, actually. What I did was I helped in the kitchen as much as I could, because I have a little one-year-old. And, you know, I used to be a Teens for Chrysler, and last year my baby was like 6 weeks old, and I was so depressed that I had to be stuck, you know, with my baby all day long. And, you know, God really said, Holly, this is your calling. And so I obeyed, and I was blessed to minister to my baby. And this year I was allowed to just go out a little bit farther and help with the kitchen staff a lot more. And, you know, really, I came from a background where I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I came out some really hard stuff when I was about 16 years old. God really used Tim and Kim to just disciple me and grow me up in the Lord, and then later Pastor and Diane. So I see all these kids coming, and there are a lot of kids that didn't go to Liberty, and I can see it in their faces, the lack of brokenness, the hardness, the rebellion towards authority, and I could see it in their faces, and I was like, man, these kids, they don't know. They're ungrateful little kids, and I can't believe they're like that. And so I went down, and I was talking with Tim Ward, and I was just like, Tim, I can't believe that these kids don't know what a good thing they have, and I can't believe this and that. And, you know, he looked at me and said, Holly, you are that way. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I always listened to you when you told me to stop doing this and that. And, you know, Angela Wall was standing next to me, and I sort of grew in the Lord and grew up with Angela. And, you know, it was kind of humbling to have her here, there, you know, that I was disobedient to Tim. Anyway, at the end of the conversation, Tim just kept saying, you know, Holly, I know they're doing stupid stuff. I know. You got to let them get their noses bloodied up. You got to just let them go. You got to love them through it. And I was so broken in my heart. I was so grieved that I couldn't love these kids the way that Jesus wanted me to. And I surrendered at that point and said, Lord, I'm getting in the way. It's not about me. I can't fix these kids. Tim can't fix these kids. It's about you and your glory and whatever you have to do to take these precious souls through whatever they have to go through. Do it, Lord, and give me the grace to love them through it. And it's funny because I was really having a hard time serving the kids. Just pride just snuck in, and these lies when I'm serving them. Do you want syrup with your pancakes? You know, I mean, you want fries with that? It's pretty humbling, you know, from my professional background to serving kids was a little bit humbling for me. And it's just like, what is going on? And finally, the Holy Spirit said to me, Holly, it is not about you. It's about them, and it's about me. And so I just want to say to you kids out there that I don't know, you know, what you think about me, or it doesn't even really matter, but I just want to tell you that it was my privilege and honor to serve you guys this week, and I love you, and I think God is going to use you mightily. So thank you for letting me serve you.
A hand arising from the back. Josiah.
Well, at camp this year, I think it was Wednesday night, but I was really trying to reach out to some people I saw that were lonely, just because I guess I just see people that are lonely and it kind of kills me inside. But I saw this one kid, and I had known him for a while, so, you know, I just didn't see anybody hanging out with him. So on Wednesday night, he was just, I saw him, like, you know, just crying his head off, and I went over and talked to him. Started just sharing with me what was going on, and I tried to help him, and we talked, and I prayed with him. And then, like, I think it was Friday night, I was really going, dealing with some stuff and stuff. And he came over to me, you know, and he had been, like, all week, I had been depressed at certain times, and he had been coming over and talking to me and been like, Shia, what's wrong? And I just wanted to deal with it all myself, you know, because I didn't think, like, I needed anybody. Because, you know, I've been raised in a Christian home, and I didn't think I needed any help, but so this kid, he put it in mean words, he wouldn't leave me alone, but I'm really thankful for him now, and so on Friday night, he was really there for me, and we talked, and it really helps because you know that there's always going to be someone there that God puts in your life to help you through things, and you know, when you help people, it makes an impact in their life, and sometimes you don't realize it, but just next time you see somebody that's like, you know, pressed or alone, just go over and talk to him because it usually means a lot. So I just want to say I'm thankful for that person just talking to me and helping me. All right.
Thank you. See you guys ducking down over there. Lauren?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say a couple things about camp that were really good. One, my mom alluded to, for those of you who weren't there, Tim had a brilliant idea, or maybe the Lord did, I'm sure. But what we did Friday night was we had people spaced out in about 30 to 50 yard intervals, winding a lot throughout the whole property in the field and stuff. And it was probably, I don't know, a couple miles of people. Huh?
1 mile.
1 mile. 1 mile of people every 30 yards. And we took this cross that was about probably one third of the size of an actual cross, and we carried it to 30 yards. And then when you were done carrying it, you joined the rest of the group behind, whoever was behind you who carried it before, and we were singing hymns and spiritual songs. Amazing Grace, we sang a lot. And so, you know, it was really a cool time to kind of put yourself a little bit in the historical context of what Jesus' followers must have, thought and did. So I thought that was really good. It was very, very touching. I also wanted to say, too, and this has been on my heart recently, that I'm so thankful for the leadership of this church, and there were three separate times I can think of in my life when I was in harm's way, once physically and twice spiritually, and Pastor Vaughn and Pastor Vowles came to my rescue, if you will, little R, and spoke truth into my life and guided me, and I've been so blessed. I hate to think of what would have happened if I hadn't received that, or if I thought it wasn't necessary, or if I had rebuffed their counsel. And it's been such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be under good authority, isn't it? I mean, doesn't the scripture say that when the righteous are in rule, that the people are in peace and they have joy? It's when wicked people, both in the pulpit and wicked people in government who rule, that the people suffer. when people don't have a heart towards the King of the universe. But I just wanted to share with you one last thing, and that is, there seems to be, we've been talking a little bit at Liberty about being weary. That's what the camp was about, don't grow weary, and about how people, some of the people here are weary. We've been kind of praying about that Wednesday nights. The Lord just really spoke to me last night. I was praying, and the scripture popped in my mind, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And the Lord just said immediately when I was praying, get up and start studying that. And it's amazing. It's only like six words. I probably spent an hour thinking about it. But one thing I want to point out about that verse is that any religion can say, you know, be humble, be strong. That's the first part of the verse. Any religion can just put down moral laws. But this scripture says, be strong in the Lord. That's something that maybe even the Israelites could do. They could probably be strong in the Lord in a sense. But I think only Christians can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And I began to think about what His might is. And that in some way, we share in that might. We're to be strong in His might. And since God is strong, so powerfully strong throughout His creating the universe, the resurrection. Think about that. When God raised Jesus, He just didn't raise a man and reanimate him like Lazarus, you know, where he was going to, you know, come back to life and die again. God gave Jesus eternal life. And when He saves us, He takes something that's so broken, fragile, and so finite and gives it eternity. It's such a powerful property that God, I mean, it's just unbelievable. As I began to think about how powerful and how strong God is, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And there's another passage, too, I wanted to read. It's Colossians 1:10. And Paul says this, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, by bearing fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Being strengthened in all power according to His glorious might. So God just spoke to me, if you're feeling weary out there or you're tired, just to surrender to the Lord wholeheartedly and ask for His glorious power. It amazes, it just blows my mind that God says in some manner we share in His strength. To be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It just encouraged me greatly. I just want to encourage you.
Thank you. That was good. I was told by Jordan to call on Alyssa Graham. Just doing what I'm told.
Okay. last week was really amazing. God did a lot of things through different people that I knew. One thing that I noticed this year that, I mean, every year there's been a lot of spiritual warfare, but this year particularly, it was really, really bad. I mean, I just remember it just being like tearing friendships apart, tearing people down that shouldn't, you know, tearing leaders down. And God just told me, you know what, I work through the bad things. I work through the hard things. I don't just come through what is good. I don't just go through the good friendships, you know. I'm taking these people through these things for a reason. And a verse that actually I memorized in quizzing last year, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Really, God just kept putting that in my mind the whole week. And I guess it was just a real learning experience for me about like being a leader and leading other people. As far as spiritual warfare goes, the praying and just seeing God work through prayer, there were just times when I just fell on my knees and started praying because I was so upset about what was happening or. You know, God was speaking to me, and I needed to respond, and it was a good week for me. So, I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you. And I was also instructed to call on Paul Kinsey.
Even though he's wearing orange.
Walmart.
Walmart.
That's right.
He's the Walmart cart crew.
For another week.
That's, can you say that three times real fast?
Probably not.
Try.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. Walmart cart crew. Walmart cart crew. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll just share. And I'll go look for Jordan after this because I don't see him in here and he's dead. Camp was awesome this year. It was a great experience. So there was a lot of spiritual warfare that I really felt going on. The Lord really worked a lot in my life, just showing me that I'm not in control of things. And through a lot of the situations, it was just kind of difficult to see how God, you know, works and how you have to trust him to work in his own time. And really what the Lord really impressed on me, and I shared with the leaders earlier in the meeting, is I felt like a lot of us were under attack. And what the Lord brought to my mind is the story of Israel in the Old Testament when Moses was holding up his hands in the battle. And the leaders came when he couldn't hold up his hands any longer and really held him up. And I really felt like a lot of us, especially me, just with the camp, don't grow weary. A lot of times I just felt so weary that, you know, I didn't know what to do. And really all the leaders really came together and unified in prayer and in heart. And that's something that the Lord just really showed me how, it's not just at camp that we can do this, that we really need to stand with each other, not just in the hard times, but also in the good times, and the good times and bad. So that's basically it.
Good.
So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
I was instructed to call upon Justice Whitty.
All right. Well, like everyone else said, the spiritual warfare was really intense at camp. I've dealt with it before, but it was really intense. I think Wednesday night, Mr. Terry and Cameron and Jimmy and I were sitting up on the hill, and you could just feel the thickness in the air. I mean, you could just feel it. And we had knots in our stomach and everything, and we just decided to go up on the hill and pray. And we prayed for like 45 minutes, and it was just an amazing time. And that happened all over. Everyone was praying, and it was just amazing for me to see all through the week. There's little things happening everywhere I looked. You know, stuff would be happening, and I'm like, oh. And I'm the kind of person, I want to help everywhere I can. And I see this, and I'm like, well, I don't have time to go deal with this, but I know God's going to work it out. Like, I was doing other stuff. I would pray. I saw other people praying, and it was really awesome to see some of the younger people and other people step up and do stuff when it was needed. So that was really cool. And God just really refreshed me. Like Jessie said when she was up here, I was just really tired. I was kept going and going and going and going, and it was a really good refreshing time. And he also showed me a couple of things and really changed my perspective on a couple of things in my life and my future. And that's going to make a pretty big impact, but I'm not going to go into that right now. But it was just really awesome to see God work. And like a couple other people said, the worship was just amazing, especially Friday night. Like the first couple of nights through camp, like I said, you could just kind of feel the thickness in the air. There's a lot of spiritual warfare, but by the end, it all just lifted like the dark cloud had like lifted off the place, and God was just there. And I hardly slept at all. Like, yeah, I didn't sleep. But Friday night after the worship, I don't know where, it was energy from God because I was dead. And I was just jumping up and down during worship. I was excited. And I didn't go to bed till 5 in the morning. And I have no idea where that, the energy was from God, and it was just amazing. So now it's Cameron's turn to come up.
The one, the only,
Cameron Mund. Gentlemen.
Okay, I guess I can't hide even doing the slides. I was the game director person this year, so I didn't get to counsel a lot of kids. I didn't get a lot of opportunity for that, so it was more, I guess, stuff that happened to me. And it was very, very, very hard emotionally and physically for me, too, because I need to be able to get my sleep and nutrition and stuff. And later in the week, they actually let me sleep in until, like, after breakfast was over to help me stay healthy, so that was cool. But it was really, really hard for all of us counselors through different trials that we had and tribulations. And, you know, there was one night where everything kind of came down, and it was really, really hard for me because I had people telling me things here and there, and my sister and I had a really good talk that night, and it was about 2 a.m, I think it was David that said that a bunch of us got together and prayed, and it was just about 15 of us guys. It was like all the guy counselors, and it was just really, really, really awesome just for all of us because it was like, it was just so awesome. We were all one. We were all united, praying for the same cause, just for unity and peace for the camp. And it was just really cool. And I know I have a lot more to say, but I can't think of it all. But one thing I wanted to say, though, was everyone keeps talking about the spiritual attacks that we had and how difficult it was or whatever, but I think we need to give ourselves a little more credit. It wasn't just us getting attacked. It was a war because there were two people fighting. There were two sides here. It was the good and the bad. And the good definitely won. So we won the war.
That's good. Thank you. And Karen Graham is coming up. Yeah. Give it up. One of my favoriteest people in the whole world.
Wow, hey.
I met Karen. I won't go into those
stories. Yeah, speaking of teenagers. Anyway, I didn't actually go to camp. I just I slept in my nice air-conditioned house across the street. And then I got up real early in the morning and came over and helped Debbie and all of them with breakfast. And so, you know, I'm thinking, I'm sending my kids off to camp, and I'm going to goof off, and oh yeah, I'll show up and do breakfast, and okay. So, anyway, this one particular night, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and bam, I am wide awake in my nice, comfortable bed across the road, and God says, pray. You better pray. So I just start praying. I started with my son because I assumed, something's wrong with Frank. But it wasn't him. So I just started praying, and I probably didn't go back to sleep that night and or didn't get much sleep. So then I go across the road about 6 a.m, and I come stumbling in Brian and Debbie's kitchen looking for the coffee pot. And about the same time, Gina Pfister stumbling in there looking for the coffee pot. And she goes, at 2 o'clock, I woke up and God said, Gina, pray. And I'm like, okay, something happened at 2 o'clock. Well, I don't know where Cameron is, but that was the night everything went down, or however you just put that. Because I sat around and listened then for the rest of the day to hear what had happened at 2 o'clock at night. And you know, everybody up here has said there was a lot of spiritual warfare, and I mean, we could feel it across the street, you know. And I told Kim in the process of hearing about everything going on that I felt very convicted as a parent. You know, for next year, I'm organizing all the parents to be praying. We're going to pray around the clock because there's a lot of unsaved kids that come to this camp, and we want them to see Jesus. But they bring an awful lot of baggage with them, and we need the Lord to deal with that. And if we're praying like that night when Cindy and all of those guys were praying and the guys prayed at 2 a.m, the Lord can move, but I want to be faithful about that. So you'll be hearing from me next year at camp time to be praying. But also, see, I know if I stand here and say this, I won't forget, you know, I won't get out of it, right? Right. The other thing I wanted to say is I'm just really blessed that there was a number of adults who took off work, an entire week's worth of vacation, to come to camp and work with my kids, and that really blessed me. I can't name them all, but I'm just very, very thankful for them. And your reward is in heaven. And I'm probably still going to sleep in air conditioning next year. So
she will organize from her air-conditioned home. That's good. You're awesome, Karen. Okay, I was supposed to call on... we'll give Tim his chance. Don't worry. We saved the best for last around here. Of course, my daughter Lydia isn't here because she just decided to volunteer for the nursery. You know why she volunteered for the nursery? Because she didn't want me to call her up here. No. So, but you should all know what Lydia bought me for Father's Day. A pair of black Converse tennis shoes. Is that cool or what? And I promised her that I would preach in them someday. I don't have them on yet, okay? So you will see me, but she wants me to wear my black suit with my black Converse tennis shoes, all right? And I told her I would do that for her, to show her that I love her. You did? Oh, you guys pitched... Oh, really? Well, you bought me something else.
What?
Oh. Whoa. Hannah's a good daughter, too. She's the best. Okay, I was asked to call on... there's fingers pointing at whose head? Jeff Dawson.
Yeah. Well, I really don't know where to start. You know, for me, the best part of camp was definitely spending with the counselors and the kids. Really made a lot of good friends, got to know all you guys a lot better, and definitely formed some friendships and some bonds that looking forward to getting better over the years, you know. Being a middle child, I tend to be the stereotyping, the peacekeeper and so forth in the family, and it was a pretty tough week because I had to step on some toes every once in a while and get people in line, get people going and so forth. And it's kind of contrary to my nature, but it was a good thing for me to kind of work through. And I guess one of the biggest lessons that I learned was we've really got to have grace for one another, you know, because... Especially within that week, it's pretty tough because it was hot. We were tired. You know, I know I made a lot of mistakes along the way, and I know others did. But you know, we're all going to make mistakes, but we got to have grace for one another. And I just really learned that through the week, and I hope that we'll just continue to remember that as we go along. And you know, a lot of the things that Tim shared, one of the things was he'll share a little bit more about, I'm sure, with the clay pots and the breaking and so forth. And, you know, during part of the week, my heart just was really hard. And a lot of the breaking God did was after I got home from camp. I come home and, you know, our freezer had quit and, you know, all the groceries and so forth we had gone bad. Got in an accident, got rear-ended the other day, you know, and then just the other day, was just flat on my back, sick with the flu and so forth. And, you know, the Lord's just really, this week, more really working on my life because I was just holding a lot of things in from the last week, you know, and dealing with a lot of the issues. And, you know, everybody talked about the spiritual warfare and so forth. And it really wears you out, you know. And the Lord just really needed to start working on me more this week, you know what I'm saying? But I tell you what, I'm really grateful for all the fighting I did with my brothers and my sisters, and you know, definitely wouldn't trade that for anything.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're Tim, would you come on up?
Can I have a stand? I need to put this thing.
Oh, like a music stand?
Hold it, yeah.
Oh. Who needs glasses out there?
Very nice.
That was very sweet, pal. All right, I'm gonna take this. What? You know, I'm trying to think of something at camp, you guys. What's the plan? What? Plan is fix the mic. Don't break the mic. Okay, Whitty, you've been a little rough on this microphone, brother. And them hopping up and down song, getting everybody wired up. Fall in there, please fall in there. Fix it, brother, you broke it. I didn't do it. It fell out. I don't know what I did. Hey, try that. No, get out of here. I think it's slotted, it goes around. Get this thing here. I got it, man. I'll fix it here. Is there any doubt? Here we go. Okay, I'm just going to cover a few things real quickly with you. And what's that? What? Hey, listen, I meant it. I meant well. This won't take long. Okay, you asked for it. I'm going to tell you the story because I got an excuse. The week before I went, I go up and spend some time with the Lord. And, you know, a lot of things are different for us. And this isn't just about camp. You know, what you don't know is that most of the people you heard from were counselors. Even LITs is what we call them. That's not a bad name or a Christian cuss word. It's leaders in training. People that we are looking forward to the future. My brother Brian and my sister Debbie, my just good friends, and just I can't love them enough, came to me at the end of the camp and they said, we have never seen a more serious, sober, just strengthened group of leaders and counselors than this group. They have got a passion for these kids, and they are sober about their job. They're not goofing off thinking, I'm the cool counselor. They literally, in my words, got the fire beat out of them. I mean, they got whipped. The enemy came at them from every way, upside down, backwards, impersonally, out, kids. You know, a lot of people would like to take credit and say, well, it's because this happened or that happened. Don't kid yourself. 1 Peter 5 says that our enemy walks about like a roaring lion. He is after us. He is looking to devour us and take us down. We are foolish to think that he is not attacking us, even today. This afternoon, I almost didn't have my counselor meeting because I was so upset about some things. I was grinding through it. The key word is G69 when you're down, which is Galatians 6:9. That message goes back 20 years ago to Christ Unlimited Bible Institute when I was reading through Galatians once a day with Chuck Swindoll on a Bible study on the radio. And that verse kept standing out in my face. You know, do not grow weary in doing what is good, for in due season you'll reap if you don't quit. And that became part of it. And then in Philippians 3, we came on with press on, you know. I'm going through all this stuff, but I'm going to press on. And the big question, Rick Fister had come up, he says, what if we could just walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? And we dovetailed off those three things. But what I'm going to share with you is really not got a lot to do with that, but only the verse. I'm walking through camp on Thursday night. And it's the last night that I'm going to speak, regularly speak. Friday night was all services. And a little girl named Hallie, who is over in St. Charles, can see that I'm pretty beat up emotionally and spiritually. It's just been a hard day and a hard night, and that's when all the stuff was going on.
And she came up and she said, "I got four words for you. Do not grow weary." And I was like, I just looked at her, this little 17-year-old girl, just beaming. And she said, "Do not grow weary, Mr. Ward." And she just walked on. And I was like, wow, I really needed to hear that. I didn't realize that's what would be going on in my life, even as of the past couple of days. I'm on the phone yesterday, and I'm having a rough time talking to Kim. She said, "Hey, I just called to say G69. And I said, "Is that a bingo number?" And she started cracking up. She said, "You know what it's for." What I'm trying to say is we cannot be as naive as a church to sit here and think that the enemy is not going to attack us. We cannot be that naive. We do not deserve some supernatural protection. That's my saying. Get a bloody nose and grow up. I mean, you need to go fight and be in the middle of it. I want to share just a few things with you. If you want to jot down that verse, jot down Galatians 6:9 and memorize it, please. Please memorize that verse. Then memorize Philippians 3:10 through 14. Memorize those verses, put them away. 1 Peter 5:8. Put those verses in your vocabulary if you don't already have them in there, and stay alert. Be alert and be sober. Be vigilant. Be ready for this. I wanted to skim through the week and get to the end real quick. Our week started out good. We had a lot of new kids, about 30 or 40 more than we had last year as far as teens. It was good. A lot of new kids. People didn't know them. And the night started out, what if we could walk with God? It was a basic gospel message all day, all night. That was a thing. And then we had them go up on the hill. Everybody responded, went up on the hill. We were waiting for one person for probably 15 to 20 minutes. It was Alex. Nobody knew that till later. Alex came up to me, and I just want to help you with Alex, because some of you are like, "Well, I don't know if I go with that spooky stuff." And Alex said to me, "Mr. Ward, what do you think about that?" And I said, "Alex, there's one person that knows what happened out there on that hill, and that's you. And if God came and visited you some way, you hang on to it, pal, because God can do anything he needs to do in your life." Alex said, "That's good enough for me." And we talked, and I prayed for him, and he's been on. And then he began sharing it. And, you know, he gets weird looks when he does. You know, they're like, "Well, God doesn't do that kind of stuff." Well, maybe not in your realm. Maybe he needs to. Because that little guy came back changed when he walked down off that hill. We saw that all week long. We moved into the radical night, and radical. Notice, we had a little chant. I like, "Go radical," and they go radical. I got back to my camper, my pop-up, and my boys informed me, Josiah informed me, "Dad, radical is definitely not in." I said, "What am I going to say? Just say awesome or something, but don't say radical, man." So I used a 70s word, so what? You know, so. But it was inspired because of Pastor Vaughn's message that morning to the boys. I wrote the message for that night. I had a totally different one ready after Dave shared this, and this is what I want to tell you. This has been by far the best camp we've ever had, for one reason only. It was deep. The work was deep, and it was deep. And we do not just guess, we expect this to last for a long, long time. Here's my philosophy, and I want to share this with you before I go to this last thing. 80% of the kids that walk out of here, even in this church, will fail and stop walking with God by the time they get out of college. 80%. That's a fact. That's not a guess. That has not changed for 4 years. Did you know that? Those stats were out 4 years ago. I just heard the latest ones come out. They are the same. They're exactly the same. No change. We're failing somewhere. Now here, we're doing an exceptional job. You are doing an awesome job with your kid. But I promise you, many will not make it here. And I believe two things are happening here. I believe with all my heart two things are happening. David Foles has hit the nail on the head as far as I'm concerned. People know me. I love worshiping with song, but if you want to know how I really get fired up for the Lord, give me a Bible and send me somewhere quiet. I love His Word. I could read the Old Testament over and over and over and over again. I do. And then skim through the New Testament once in a while because it's okay to know that new stuff. I love His Word because I love meeting the Holy God in His Word. I believe our kids are weak in the Word. That's the first problem. So we pushed hard all week. I have a Bible program now that writes up reading programs. I've given out many of them already to students. I custom tailor them. How many days a week they want to read, what books they want to read, how many months. And at the end of one of my sessions, I said, just come to my, many kids came and wanted to read through the Bible in 2 years or a 2 month long program. We're getting them into the Word, the Bible quiz program. We're getting them into the Word. Word is the one thing. The second thing is they got to learn to be broken. They've got to put off this foolish pride that we've got going on. We did two things in the last night. We had family night. Probably one of the most powerful family nights we've ever had. That is a night where we address the issues in family and homes, and some of you parents, not all, but some of you from Teens Air got letters from them. Some of you will never see those letters because it was too deep and too hard. But let me tell you something, some awesome things happened that night. But an awful lot of work began too, for you, for moms and dads. Because there are kids there struggling with things all over the place, even in this church. And mom and dad, I want to tell you something, if your kid hasn't talked to you, would you go talk to them? Do it before the weekend's over. Ask them what they wrote on their piece of paper or why they didn't write on it. They'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And you cowards that didn't go talk to your mom and dad, I got you. So that's what you get for not doing it yet. Now, you had plenty of time. Well, the last night, Friday night, we had a cross service. And we have had cross offices before. How many of you have been to a cross service where they like nail the things up on the cross? You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, you basically give an altar call and say, hey, I'd like to lay these things down and do this. Well, Brian was given the morning devotion that day, Friday morning. And he said, I'd like to use a cross. I said, you can't use a cross. I'm using a cross. And so we decided, hey, let's do it right. So I said, what about we build kind of like an Old Testament altar for your thing? He says, good. I said, and then I'll platform off of yours into this. So Brian had him write the papers down at morning sacrifice. And I built a little stick and rock altar, and the kids came down and put all their papers in there. Unbeknownst to the kid, I took all those papers out, went out. And, you know, it's really hard to find fake blood on the ranch. I tried ketchup, red Gatorade, I did everything. I wanted these things to look kind of nasty. And then we found an old cross we'd made, an old one that we had from a long time ago. And we nailed it in it, and all their papers are in there. We don't look at any of these things ever. We don't ever look at them. It's just a rule. It's a courtesy. It's a grace thing and understanding. This is private. And the idea was to lay these things down. So then I gave a little speech. We left Friday night, and for a mile, from the entrance of the ranch, you may not know this, but it's just under a mile, but the way we went in, if you drove the road from where you turn off Ethelyn Road to the pavilion, it's just about a mile, just about exactly a mile by the road. We wandered all through this. It was a little more than a mile. The distance from Golgotha, this is from Golgotha to where the tomb was, is just about a half a mile, 0.6 mile. I looked it up on the map. We walked twice that distance, basically, because Jesus was walking back and forth that day. And so I went out, and it's really funny because Brian's staff is out there, and they keep the ranch looking nice. Well, to mark where kids went, I took a roll of toilet paper, and I drive in my truck, and I just drop one. I found to air one and drop them, and I drop along. The staff is walking along behind me like birds picking them up. Put those things back down. She goes, what? I said, that's what kids are supposed to tame. She goes, do I need to put them back? I said, yes, you need to put them back. Take them back and put them back here. They'll pick them up later. We had 120 people stretched from where it says, welcome to El Shaddai Ranch, to the amphitheater, through pastures, up and down. What happened when they carried that cross was unbelievable. A soberness took over them. It was quiet. They sang, they walked. I believe John Mark started out with it, and Jared and Jordan took it down the first part of the road, and then everybody got a chance to get everybody in the camp. And I think it was so powerful at the end, unplanned, that we had a girl with a busted up foot and another one that was hurting with her knee, and we had Shirley that couldn't go out. And we got to the amphitheater, and Holly, I think, had gotten to one of the guys and said, tell Tim that my mom wants to carry the cross. There's a lady sitting here on oxygen. He's visiting the camp for the first time tonight, and she wants to carry the cross of Christ. What a statement to the kids. Amen. We get to the amphitheater, they take it to her, and man, I lost it then. And Shirley, in her condition, with her less loss of lungs and her oxygen tank, carries it over to a girl that we have to pick up out of a chair so she can carry it to another girl who actually can't even move out of her chair. And we carried it and helped her at least hold it for a second till we put it up on the stage. And I thought, this is who the cross was for. Those who are hurt, who are wounded, who cannot help themselves. The victory of the cross is for those who are in need. Amen? The physician didn't come for those who are well, but those who need him. And there are many kids at night still. Kids walked out of this camp bitter, angry. Believe me, don't get your hopes up. It's still a mess. If I could share two things with you, I would share with you this. God wants to break us. He wants to bring us to a new place in our life. And I'm going to do something I probably shouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm a dancer. No, you don't want to see me dance. I don't have my platforms.
You disco dogs are digging this. You ought to see me. I had some green silks and a big open shirt, with no hair on my chest, and a nasty big old cross. Oh, the man. I'm not going to dance. God wants to break us, and that night we talked about the end of the week, and I'm going to finish camp here tonight. It's over with. All good things must pass. They need to go on. You need to continue on to the new thing God calls you to do. Don't hang back there. Don't live in the past. Today's a new day, and God wants to do new things. Lamentation says his mercies are new every morning. Grab that. Hang on to that. For me, it was an awesome camp. Jeff took a big load. I had pushed him and Ravonda very, very hard. They had a crash course. They didn't get much warning. Amen. And they just did a phenomenal job taking that load off of me. But you know what? I needed that load off because of the other work that was going on with my leaders. I actually spent more time just working with them and some kids in great need at that point. But the last thing we did, as we had several clay pots sitting on the stage, and several of my leaders told me later what happened. Listen to me. I don't know what you're hanging on to or what God's been doing in your life, but many of you, honestly, you're playing a stupid game, and you really just need to cut it out. And you really just need to let go and get back where you need to be with Christ, even tonight. And I want to tell you what he wants to do to you. This is what we look like when we start out with him. And Jeremiah 18 says, you know, the clay was spoiled, and he decided to break it and remake it. And God continually does that. And for me, it's like this week he's been beating me and breaking me and beating me and breaking me because he wants to form this thing into the thing he's created for, not what I want to be. If I was, I would be happy being right here, just so I was a pot, just so I was doing something for him. And he said, that is not enough. I want more out of you. So when he gets to this place, and here's where we're at, and time after time as I did this, there was just a shudder in the audience, and I didn't know what was going on because I couldn't hear from where I was at. But I knew things were happening out there because I couldn't see because of the lights and the darkness. And I said, what is happening here? And what was happening is that God was teaching them, this is how serious I am, but I will destroy you. I will take all your pride, all your arrogance, all your sinful attitudes, and I will destroy them and break them. And then when you're crying and you're laying down and you can't look anywhere but up, I will remake you into something much, much better. I have lived through that in my own family time and time again, and I don't doubt that it will happen to me again. But this is exactly what the Father does to you. He takes you and he just breaks you. When I did that at camp, girls and guys started weeping all over the camp because for the first time in our life, they realized that God loved them and he was breaking them for a purpose. And I kept breaking pots and making bigger ones and showing them ceramic ones and glazed ones and made them, are they harder to break? And I said, as you go, he makes you bigger and bigger. And I said, remember this, guys. He's not looking at that. This is what he sees. He sees great beauty. I picked this pot for a reason. You can get it at Walmart for $8.99. That's one reason it was cheap. The other reason, no two of these are alike. These little gray lines, you can't see them in here. I looked at all of them. They're all dripped somehow when they do it. I used to do ceramics with my grandmother, and I know how they do a lot of glazing and painting and stuff with ceramics and stuff. And this has a round ring roughly around, and then it has two little strings that come down here. And it's different from anything else, and that's what I try to explain to the kid tonight. He has made you wonderfully and beautifully. This is what he sees when he starts out with that little broken vessel you are. Because in the end, he's trying to make you something unique and special to fulfill his call in your life. Amen? Church, this is us as a body. We have got to be unified. We have got to fight for each other and protect each other. Tonight we had the Lord's Supper. I'd venture to say that many of you, not many, some, took the Lord's Supper while you had stuff against your brother or sister. Bad thing. We're not unified. I teach the kids another thing I learned at Promise Keeper years ago with Steve Sanders. They have an African model of brass that they showed at one of the very first ones where these three tribesmen were locked arms and they had their spears out front, didn't any head. They were back to back. And on all three sides, there were three, so they could watch and protect the other one's back in the last battle as a great army came at them. We pray at Boards and Walls South High School during the school year. And I took our group over there one night, and we were going to pray in a circle. I said, you know what, I want to do something a little bit different. And we all turned around, about 50 of us, and we locked arms and we faced outward. And we backed up, and I just simply said, I have your back. And without even thinking about it, kids start saying, I've got your back. I've got your back. Church, that's what we need to do. God wants us to get each other's back. And when we get broken, and when we're torn up, and God's breaking us in it, and we've got your back. We're watching out for you. We're building you up. Camp was a great experience, but camp is over. It's time for us to grow up and move on. My prayer is not that 80% would turn to 60. My prayer is that 100% of the teens that walk out of this place will come back and meet me with an appointment when I'm 69 years old. I made an appointment with every kid and every person at that camp to come back or call me or write me 20 years from now. Because I want to hear, just like I want to hear that you are doing well. And I want you to check and see if I'm okay. Amen? Let's not look short term. Let's go for the deep work and the deep walk. God wants to build us up. Amen? God bless you guys. I love you. Thank you for the time tonight.
I thought Tim was going to break the big one. I was like, wow, man. Oh, I'm sorry. The only thing I'm going to say, thank you. The other thing I'm going to say is that there's a reason there's spiritual warfare. When you read the Gospels, Jesus shows up. If you read the Gospels, there are demons everywhere. Right? Right. And it's always like that. If Jesus shows up, the gates of hell attempt to destroy, confuse, distort the voice and the message of Christ. Not the American version of Christianity that many practice. It's not church going. It's not church sitting. It's not sermon hearing. It's not any of the things, per se. It's, is Christ present? And that is the issue. Amen? I mean, that is the issue. I don't know if you read the Voice of Liberty newsletter, and I wrote the front cover, but I said something that some people might believe is arrogant, and it was this: I believe God is in our midst. But I don't think that's arrogant, because the next line was, if you don't believe that, then you shouldn't be in our midst. And what I mean by that is, every Christian has an obligation to seek Christ above all things. And that includes where you go to church. It includes what pulpit you listen to. Okay? Where is Christ? And that's where you need to be. And this, there were several comments made tonight which commended the kids, and I was commended, and there were different commendations about the church, and that's all good. And I appreciate people encouraging me, but the reality is we all know that we're not what we should be. Okay? Now, that's not a false humility. That's just the way it is. So on the one hand, you can say things like God is in our midst, but on the other hand, you have to say, well, what is he doing in our midst? Well, he's breaking us. Well, that implies we need to be changed. That means where we haven't arrived, right? We never arrive. That's the point. You never get there. It's only when you think you've arrived, then you're in grave danger. Okay? Well, it's true. I mean, the Pharisees thought they had arrived. They were in grave danger. So the reason the spiritual warfare is happening is because God is at work. He's at work in our church. He's at work through our church. He's at work in the camp. And that is not an assertion of saying, we're the cat's meow, we're the best church around. I don't believe that, okay? But I believe God's in our midst. I'm not saying God isn't down the street either. But that's not my concern. My concern is here. You know, my concern is this body. And I have seen myself miraculous things happen in people's lives. And yes, I've seen the spiritual warfare, and yes, I've experienced the spiritual warfare, and yes, it's real. But I can assure you of this, that if we were just doing church, if we were just putting on programs, we wouldn't be experiencing the warfare. It would not be necessary. To close with this song, and actually I'd like to have the young people come down. But why don't we all stand? Let's all stand together. I want to invite the young people to come down. Down, a lot of space in the front. I'm sure after a week at camp and carrying the cross, this song may even be more real to you now. But this is what it's about. It's not about church. It's not about all the other things that we think it's about. It's about knowing Christ. As Tim quoted the verse in Philippians 3, knowing him and him crucified, right? The power of his death and his resurrection.